This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 19th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, you know it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together with whatever's on your mind. I hope you'll call 888-876-5593. If you remember over a decade ago, it was all the rage online, stories about glow-in-the-dark shrimp. And apparently this started when some hapless consumer got the shrimp home and left them out to defrost on the kitchen counter and went in there in the dark, and there they were just glowing away. And everybody was talking about it. And the reality is that it's more common than you'd think, and it's less dangerous than you might know. Marine bacteria can cause the luminescence and when they grow on seafood products. And so that can be exacerbated by adding salt and other things. So the bottom line is when you're leaving that that food on the table to defrost, you might, in fact, see the glow. It's harmless. All right. So now, fast forward over a decade, and we see Walmart shrimp may have been exposed to radioactive material. And the first thing I thought is, are they glowing in the dark? Apparently not. Or if they are, no one's talking about it. So my first question was, and exactly how did they discover this? And that answer leaves me more unsettled. But we're going to talk about that. Bringing up the subject is Cindy in Chicago. So Cindy, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I was just watching WGN News. Well, the one story is that WGN is merging with some other, I don't know, I can't remember the name. But then the other story was, it was going to be on the 10 o'clock news, and I turned on your show, and I wanted to know what radioactive food, that I never heard of.
Okay, I'll explain the whole thing, but first, an answer to your question. Nexstar is going to acquire Tegna, and it's a $6.2 billion transaction, and you can read all about that. But so that's what you heard on the news. Now, let's get to the shrimp, because my first thought when I saw the article, Walmart shrimp, great value, yeah, apparently a greater value than anyone realized with this little extra ingredient, I thought to myself, how did they know? Because that's the first question. And the deal is they knew because of scanning of the containers. Because when you're talking about bringing in goods from other countries, obviously we don't just lay ourselves open to anything. We take a look at it. And so one of the shipments tested positive for radioactive containment. So they looked at what was in that shipment, and it turned out that it was great value shrimp. So that's how it happened. Now, will it hurt you? Probably not. But the FDA rightly says you should avoid eating it. And so it's great value. And apparently the contamination is cesium-137. And an Indonesian company actually processed the seafood. You'll probably note that most of the seafood, shrimp and stuff like that, comes from Asia. And when you look at the country of origin, it's not unusual that you'll see that it's Indonesia or Thailand or whatever. But in this case, it is Indonesia. Bahari Makmur Sejati, BMS Food. And apparently 13 states involved in this, and Illinois is not one of them. So Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Missouri, Mississippi, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Texas, and West Virginia. So, So the greater value shrimp, the bottom line, is they're saying do not eat or serve this product. And talk to your healthcare providers if you think you've been exposed. But I would again say, for the most part, you know, unless you ate the whole shipment, you're probably safe. And as far as CS-137, cesium-137, that is used for medical devices and gauges. And so it's a known. Unknown situation, but exactly how it got into food, because when it was scanned and the container was found to have CS-137 in it, that's when they found out what's in the container, and they scanned that, and sure enough, some of these shrimp tested positive for CS-137, and repeated exposure will be a big problem. But again, that's repeated exposure. And that's repeated exposure of even low doses. But in this case, it's probably not the case. So the detection of the containers occurred in Los Angeles, Houston, Miami, and Savannah. And all products that tested positive for CS-137 were denied entry into the country. However, the question is how much of it got in beforehand or managed not to be scanned. And so the FDA says the level detected in breaded shrimp in great value could represent a potential health concern if it's combined, and that's the thing. Like if you're undergoing medical procedures with radiation, yeah, this will exacerbate that. Or if you've got exposure from other environmental situations, this will exacerbate that. But if you're just sitting at home and you had a bit of shrimp, I wouldn't worry too much. But doesn't matter. It's not in Illinois anyway. All right.
Wow.
It happens.
So I buy that great value sometimes in the winter. Mm-hmm. But I just want to ask you, is it socially acceptable for a woman to sit on the couch and watch the Bears game and then go eat macaroni and cheese and Walmart shrimp?
Well, if it's what you want to do, I don't see a problem with it as far as that. But when you see words like great value, remember, dozens of companies are making the products. It's not one company. It's an in-house name, just like Kroger has and Safeway has and everybody else. So
Lando Lakes butter.
No, actually Lando Lakes butter for the most part has an easier trajectory to trace where it came from. In the case of great value, as I say, the suppliers may be dozens of them. So it doesn't tell you anything. You see, Walmart's not making anything. You do understand that. Walmart's not sitting there in Bensonville, Arkansas, making anything. So they're using different suppliers. And so when you see great value, don't think that it's all alike, because it's dozens of companies.
Well, it just reminds me of something. All these, the Millville is General Mills, and then the rest of it, like a lot of the stuff is made by Kraft Food and Aldi.
Well, that of course, understood, but what I'm saying is in the case of house brands, where you're seeing names like Great Value, it can be dozens of companies, none of which you've ever heard of.
Yeah. Okay,
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
You're safe. All right. So enjoy those shrimp.
Did I have a request? No, I didn't have a request.
You had a request. You wanted to hear Kicks by Paul Revere and the Raiders, and I'll play it.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
That's a nice
All
song.
Right. If you say
okay,
so. Bye-bye. All right. Very good. So, yeah, I'm sure that Paul Revere and the Raiders would be, those left still on terra firma, would be thrilled to know it's a nice song, according to Cindy. All right. I'll leave it to you what you think of it, but we'll get a request from Jan as well. But before we do, yeah, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company. Always makes me feel good. And the deal is, you know, I've said this many times, this all started when Bob Crane was dissatisfaction with the state of radio reception in the 80s, and he thought, I can do better. And all the products have one commonality. They just have terrific reception. And you know, that extends to things beyond radio, such as, how about a long-range Wi-Fi system? Maybe you've got a big house or a workshop or a guest house or a backyard office, and maybe your wireless access point, your Wi-Fi router, is just not doing the job. Well, all is not lost. You can get the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System from Sea Crane. You can beam a reliable Wi-Fi signal up to half a mile from your router. Now, as long as you have line of sight. Now, that's important. But the bottom line is, assuming that it is a good path, it will work. And it will work with any Wi-Fi devices. And that way, you can take your internet, no matter how lackluster that wireless router is, and allow you in that back room or that backyard office or whatever to browse the web or make video calls or watch videos online or streaming audio from your favorite show like WGN Radio. The setup is simple, and the best part is it's the Sea Crane Company, so their 100% US-based customer support 24 hours a day will walk you through whatever you have in terms of questions. Now, I always say the best thing to do is go online, and it is, by the way. And of course, if you can't go online, maybe you don't want a router, but or at least a long-range Wi-Fi system. But here's the deal. If you've got any questions or you wonder about this, by all means, give them a call. Yes, you can order by phone, but also they'll answer all your questions. And so if you have any of the problems that many people do about, you know, your wireless router, wireless access point is just lackluster. You know, you're trying to watch movies in the back room and nothing's happening. You're trying to make calls outside, nothing's happening. Well, the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System will make it happen. Again, up to half a mile, but you have to have line of sight. So, if you're wondering, give them a call. Ask them some questions. 800-522-8863. But if you know what you're doing, well, even better. Go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Vector Extended Long Range Wi-Fi System. It may solve all of your problems. And in fact, if you want to get there directly, ccrane, ccrane.com/booster, all capital letters. All right, B-O-O-S-T-E-R. You can see it that way too. All right, so check it out. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, the original 45, 1966 on Columbia. And that was one of the handful of groups that Columbia signed after they ousted Mitch Miller. Yeah, who refused to have a rock and roll album on Columbia. And after he was gone, they released a whole slew of them in the summer of 65 and introduced us to Paul Revere and the Raiders. And everybody in the Pacific Northwest knew them for years. All right, so that's what I get for eating a breadstick during the break. All right, so we've got Bill, and he's a first-time caller, and he's on the south side. So, Bill, thanks for calling WGN Radio.
Yeah, hey, Raleigh, I was listening yesterday, but I was so looking forward to the answer to the question, but I might have fallen asleep or you didn't answer it. But yeah, you were discussing yesterday, what are the things you cannot do on television?
Yeah, the TV.
And you know, of course, we know the swearing and But what was the answer to the question?
Well, I'm glad you're asking because, you know, that's our straggler for next week. No one got it. And we never hold things more than a week, but it will be the first question asked next Monday. So it gives you a week to think about it.
Oh, you disappointed me because I was Googling, you know, everything and they're...
Well,
you know,
and you see, when I throw out the questions, they're very hard for me to come up with because I make sure they're search proof. Mm-hmm. And you have no idea how difficult that is these days. So I look at sources that normally no one would want to put online. But but I found it. And when I said, my God, the TB code said you couldn't do this physical thing. Right. Trivia question. So you can think about it and call me Monday night. You get up to half a dozen guesses per call.
I think I actually might know the answer.
Oh, good. Good. Well, then I'll look forward to hearing from you.
Well, one thing I did learn yesterday was the seven words you can't use on the radio.
Oh, well, yeah. Everybody knows that. That's George Carlin. And, yes, I usually say them in order every time I hurt myself. You know, I trip over something, whatever. All seven.
Well, shucks. I'm disappointed that I didn't get my question answered.
Well, that's why we have next week. See, we'll do anything to get you to listen.
Okay.
All right,
I really like your show, though, and I love your taste in music. It's incredible.
Well, it is great to have you listening, and I hope you're going to call again.
Yeah, speaking of old music, you know an old group of that genre that I like? How about the Knickerbockers?
Oh, Lies. You're telling me that you'll be true. Lies. Yes, absolutely.
That one's incredible.
Yeah, and that was a one-hit wonder if there ever was one.
Right.
So
I remember I was sitting at work one day, and the thing came on. I'd never heard it before, and I thought, well, is that the Beatles? You know,
sound like it, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, the story goes Paul McCartney was listening to his car radio. He heard the darn thing, and he was so taken by it, he actually stopped and made a phone call. Who is that? And he said, oh, it's the Knickerbockers.
Yeah,
Jerry
Fuller produced it, the guy who did most of the Ricky Nelson stuff. And it got to number 20. So that was the deal. And, yeah, Bo Charles wrote it. And they were trying to sound like the British Invasion. And they wrote it in about a half an hour and demoed it in New York. And Jerry Fuller rearranged it and recorded it at Sunset Sound in West Hollywood. And I think Bruce Botnick was the engineer on that. So absolutely. And, in fact, it was Leon Russell. It was taken to Leon's house. And he had a four-track where he enhanced it, recorded some vocals there and all that. And that was that was it for Bo Charles and John Charles and Buddy Randall, the Knickerbockers.
Yeah. I think they're all dead, if I'm not mistaken.
Are they really?
I know the saxophone player is dead for sure. And I mean, everybody's dead, for God's sake.
Well, I know. I know. It's us. We're at that age. That's the deal.
Like, for example, Molly Hatchett, for example, they're all dead, you know. Leonard Skinner, they're all dead, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I know the Knickerbockers were in Bergenfield, New Jersey in 1964, so maybe you don't have a long life expectancy there. I don't know. So, meanwhile, unfortunately, it was on Challenge. And so, therefore, talk about an inept label. Sorry, I know Gene Autry owned it, but even so. All right, call me again.
Okay,
thanks.
Take
Appreciate
care.
It. All right. And we're ready in the news, as well we should be. And we'll pick it up right after it, right in moments on WGN Radio.
Cheers. same old way. Think about the love that burns within my heart for you, the good times we had before you went away. Oh, me, walk right back to me this minute, bring your love to me, don't send it, I'm so lonesome.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was Robert and Stixy who wanted to hear the Everly Brothers. That's the original Walk Right Back, 1961 on Warner Brothers. And actually, one of the Crickets wrote that. Yeah, Sonny Curtis, of course. And that was an L.A. song, not a Nashville song. And it was in Hollywood. I forget the studio, but that's Hal Blaine on drums. Normally, he's not my favorite, but I like the drum work on that. And Burt Dodson was the bass player. As far as guitars, well, Glenn Campbell and Billy Strange. And piano was Leon Russell, so it was an all-star stage-studded cast, so to speak. And when Robert requested it, I said, I agree, that's a great song. Even LaWanda Lindsay couldn't ruin that song. And I could tell that that Robert never had the pleasure of LaWanda's version.
I'm so lonesome every day. I want you to know that since you walked out on me, nothing seems to be the same old way.
Yeah, 1977 on Mercury. That's Jerry Kennedy producing it. I have no idea who played on it, but yeah, probably for a lot of reasons. But LaWanda was an interesting little girl. She was from Tampa. And, you know, singing at 14 and winning contests and all that. But her father was the general manager of a small radio station in Savannah, and that helped get her known. And I think she had about 14 country mid-charters there and retired shortly after Walk Right Back. All right, so 888-876-5593. We got Jan in Dallas. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you. A couple of things. The song I would like is Eugene Church and the Fellows. Pretty Girls.
Oh, everywhere.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's so good. I don't know if it's okay for me to say, but a dear friend of mine who lives in another state on top of a mountain bought a Sea Crane radio a few months ago, and he just loves it.
Oh, good. Which one did he get?
Well, he told me, but I didn't write it down.
Okay. All right.
But he does love it, so just wanted to say that.
Good.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I got you Eugene Church. Is that the only Eugene Church record you can name?
Yes, it is.
Well, you have to hear Miami then. I'll play a little of that, too.
Oh, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate
Alrighty.
It. Yeah, so he was kind of a mainstay in session work, too, in L.A. in the 50s. So many unsung heroes from that era. Most people don't think of Los Angeles and soul as synonymous, but in the 50s there were amazing things going on. Barry in New Hampshire, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I like that that Everly Brothers song.
Yeah.
And the piano, I didn't realize that it was Leon Russell, but that piano, it sounded something that sounded familiar to another song.
Yeah.
Or something that, I'm trying to think of the name of the song, but what I was calling about, you mentioned something about Buddy Holly. The lyrics was written. There was a name that was attached to the song, and that.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Our buddy from Clovis attached his name to just about everything he could. So, but I didn't write anything to the best of my knowledge. He put his wife's name on stuff as well. But
and who is that?
Oh, Norman Petty.
Norman Petty. Oh, Petty. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Norman Petty.
So he
and I'll tell you back
and
in the
he didn't write it?
No, but you know it's sort of like Alan Freed didn't write anything. Neither did Murray the K's mother. All right, so you know there's all sorts of all sorts of stuff like that. Dick Clark didn't write anything either, and he published a lot of things. God knows. All right, so you know. Norman Petty's little studio in Clovis was a godsend to people who were in West Texas because there really was nothing else to use back then in the 50s. So and I know they've tried to, turn it into a shrine, and I think they have tours and all that. But back in the day, there were a lot of people who recorded in Clovis.
Okay.
You know, obviously Jimmy Gilmer and many, many others.
And the other thing you said, the turtles. You said you didn't like them, because of their music. But
no, it has to do with music rights and all that, and it gets into legal stuff. And let's not go there. Say that I don't play Turtles records.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I know they were on White Whale Records.
Oh yeah, no, nothing to do with that. It's themselves, and that they're entitled to do what they want and fight for what they want, and that's fine. And I'm entitled not to play it.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't wish them any ill. I just don't want anything to do with it.
Oh, okay.
All that's right. Good enough. Thanks for calling.
Right.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. So absolutely. In fact, it's so funny. I always talk about the cosmic pendulum and how it swings in both directions. And, you know, in the 50s, of course, payola wasn't illegal for a disc jockey or a program director to take the money. It was for a licensee if they did not report it. But if they actually said that the record was sponsored by, that was legal, too. But the idea of payola, which, of course, sponsored the hearings and all that and became this real big deal, was everybody and their brother was willing to pay disc jockeys to get records played. It was the cost of doing business, if you will. And that's what I mean about the celestial pendulum. Now, the point is that the artists want to make sure that everybody is paying. You know, they're not paying anybody. Everybody is paying. And so they continue to fight for music rights. And back when the code was changed, the copyright code, that was a mid-70s thing, the upshot of it was, I think you got life plus 50. I was, at the time, right before that, I was actually taking some law classes, but the code hadn't been written yet. And it used to be 28 plus 28, and then it went into public domain at 56 years. And then they changed it. They wanted life plus 100, but I think they got life plus 50. But in any event, they had a look-back period, and things that were recorded prior to 1972 did not qualify. Well, the Turtles went nuts, and Flo and Eddie, so to speak, and they lobbied to have their stuff be covered so that they'd be paid no matter what, and there you have it. They have the right to do it. I got the right not to play it, and that's the end of that story. But yeah, in fact, just today it was announced that the new rules for ASCAP and BMI, at least the rates for radio stations, has been codified. I don't know what it is. I know it's more. It's also Congress right now is, as they do every 5 years, mandated, revising the sound exchange rates. And this is one that really gets me, not from the standpoint of having a radio station or stations or anything like that. It's that I look at the internet in many ways as, you know, being a great avenue for the hobbyist, you know, the guy who's sitting there in upper Wisconsin who just wants to play some polka records, or the gal who just is from the west side of San Antonio and can't get enough of the Tex-Mex stuff. You know, these are people who don't have a lot of money, to say the least, and what's happened is when the sound exchange royalties come into play, it puts them out of business. It takes the stuff off the air, and off the internet, I should say. And I don't think that Congress ever intended for that. This is not about paying the artists their fair share, because the reality is none of the artists that these hobbyists are playing are even known to Sound Exchange. Yet I understand this year, finally, there's some lobbying going on on behalf of the little guy, but in the last go-around, they were just ignored completely, and a lot of nice, tasty stuff that had really no commercial value wound up being booted off the air, and that's unfortunate. So there you have that. We'll see what happens this time around, but I'm rooting for the small guy because there's a lot of people who just do it as a labor of love. And as I say, most of this stuff, it's not going to be released by anybody or re-released. It's just fun for them, and it's sad to see it go. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And yes, we will play Eugene Church coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there he is, Eugene Church and the Fellows. Yeah, he was in the Clicks before that. We'll get to that. But I had said to Jan, most people, that's the only record they can name by Eugene Church. And that's a shame. Even under his name, he had half a dozen. The follow-up to Pretty Girls Everywhere was Miami.
Miami, as soon as I get my fare, I know I'm gonna find a pretty girl there in Miami.
In Miami.
In Miami.
In Miami.
In Miami.
In Miami.
I'll find a pretty girl down there. They know how to love you and treat you right. They have a beach party every night. Miami.
In Miami.
Oh, in Miami.
In Miami.
And that did basically in nothing, Miami. which is a real shame because I thought it was a cute little follow-up. He went to a few other labels after that. He was on Rendezvous for some stuff. Miami and Pretty Girls Everywhere were on Class, Leon Renee's wonderful little label. Just wonderful. But he was on Rendezvous for one thing, and then on King. And his first song on King looked like it was going to do something. Well, until it didn't. And that would be, yeah, Mind Your Own Business. I do think.
Mind your own business, leave your neighbors alone.
Mind your own business.
Put your backbiting trying to break a folks' home now.
Press your love.
Whoa, whoa. Why don't you
mind
and either
Yeah, I thought it was cute. Well, as I say, before that, the Clicks were actually only two people. One of them was Jesse Belden, and the other one was Eugene Church. And there were two things. This one a lot of oldies fans know, and maybe you do too.
Girl of my dreams, where are you? Girl of my dreams, I'm so blue, doo-doo-doo. How I yearn, how I long for you. Ooh, doo-doo, if I could just.
Yeah, and as I say, that was a pretty good doo-wop hit, but again, absolutely no radio play as far as that goes. And then Once Upon a Time, same deal, just not on the air.
Once upon a time, love was mine, all mine. Years ago, it seemed.
Yeah, Jesse Belden and Eugene Church, the Clicks. Check out what's going on in the world at large, and be back to it next hour with you right here on WGN Radio.
Don't, that's what you say. Each time that I hold you this way. When I feel like this, and I want to kiss you, baby, don't say no. Say don't.
James Elvis Presley, of course, who else? 1958 on RCA, and Lieber Stoller wrote that, indeed, produced it too. Mike in Bridgeview requested that, one of two Elvis songs he wanted to hear. We'll get the other one, too. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Eduardo is in Tampa. So, Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, what's up?
So I heard the other day, and I sometimes listen to it, WMNF in Tampa,
right.
Rob Laurie, the founder.
Right.
Yeah, he died of cancer. I know he was getting treatments at Moffitt.
Yeah.
I don't know what cancer was, but yeah, he unfortunately died on Monday.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I've seen a lot of the obits, and they gloss over the fact that they fired this guy, and it was unceremonious and not pretty at the time.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
And the board sent out an email saying that it was the result of an ethnic slur toward a listener from a station email account. Laurie, and it's L-O-R-E-I for people who didn't know this guy. And he was not from Tampa. I think he graduated from Antioch College in Ohio, and he answered an ad because they were going to put on a community radio station. You know,
right. He's from Pennsylvania, yeah.
Yeah, and so... So it was that he answered the ad, and WMNF was born, firstly in this dilapidated old house, but they moved a couple times. But what was most interesting about this station is that they ticked off some legislator in the 90s who immediately rescinded like $104,000 in support, you know, government, you know, support. And so they went on the air with an emergency fund drive and within 2 days raised $122,000. So they did a lot, and originally was a very short stick, but then they I guess about 15, 20 years ago now, they increased the height of that antenna to the point that you could get them, you know, from Clearwater to Lakeland. So that's the deal. But it is interesting that you'll see all these in memory of Rob Loria, Pioneer, and even the WMNF website has. And I'm thinking, gee, well, how about you unceremoniously fire him and for gross misconduct and then not talking about it on the air. And so that was the deals. And so
I never heard him on the radio. I saw him on since I've been here, I saw him on Friday night because he would do the, it was kind of like Chicago Tonight type of show.
Uh-huh.
It was like Florida This Week. So they do a roundtable and they talk about the issues in the Bay Area. So
Right.
Yeah, but I never heard him on the radio.
You know, he was sort of their token ultra-liberal, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the deal there. And so, it was over, the email that got him fired actually was over the Proud Dogs. And you can imagine that wouldn't float his boat. And it wasn't really a racial slur or any type of a slur when you get right down to it. It was a political statement. But the board, you know, because ultimately Nathan Stubblefield Foundation owns it today. The board said, "You're out of here." So it's interesting how now everybody's talking.
He got into an argument with the general manager. I think that was the first one.
Well, that was Craig Kopp. But it was Stubblefield that the corporation that made the decision as far as that goes. And be that as it may, the board said they would reinstate him, and they've reached a decision to reinstate him and all that. And actually the GM Craig, he resigned over this, and he said there were anti-Semitic and other toxic comments made, but there was absolutely nothing that I could find at the time, and it's been 6-7 years that Rob Loria had made any anti-Semitic statements. I didn't see that. Maybe he did, and I just don't know it. But I never saw that, and I don't know anything about it. But anyway, they reinstated it. But Craig had been there, for years as well. So it was a long time thing. But it's hard to believe that they would do an obit without at least touching on it, because every listener was aware of this.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, but see that as it may. Bottom line is he deserves the recognition because again you're appealing to a portion of the listening audience. Most of the listening audience is never going to listen to it, but there is a portion that's rabid about it, and and he certainly was a factor. There's no way to claim he wasn't. And interesting that here's a kid graduating from Antioch College. Well, I'll answer this ad, and he's there the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Radioactivity.
I like the history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like listening to the history about that. Yeah, it's pretty neat. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's the deal there.
Well, I got a request here. Roy Ayers, Keep On Moving.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay,
moving. Write down that.
I got the Bucks game this Saturday, so.
Good. What you going to do?
On that.
What will your role be?
Once you get there, then they'll assign you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good.
So, yeah.
Enjoy it.
Take them out to the Florida Blue lunch tomorrow. Like, they happen on Wednesdays, and it's pretty neat because they talk about different health topics. And yeah, I see they have the serve people, the attendees, they serve a lunch. So pretty neat. I take mom.
Good. Excellent.
Yep. Okay, I'm gonna enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, MNF is in really nice digs now, and they started out like a lot of stations, you know, in just a dilapidated old house. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, and rest in peace to Rob Laurie. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, and I'll tell you about what I've been yammering on about dead people roaming the halls in prison. Fascinating story coming from someone who was on death row. And you're saying, well, how did he get out? Because he was wrongfully convicted. But that's not the part of the deal. He is out, spent 3 years of his life on death row, and it's what he saw. So we'll tell you all about that and take your calls and whatever's on your mind right here on WGN Radio.
I know you're a lonely woman, and I love you. Someone else is waiting, and he owes you. If he should ever wake up, show your story is straight up. If you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name. And if you walk in your sleep, forget where you came. Shadows, so afraid that sometime he may follow. There's always a chance he'll find us. Oh, I don't need to remind you. If you talk in your sleep, don't mention my name. If you walk in your sleep, forget where you came. It's borrowed. So I'll feel a little easier tomorrow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and well, that was the other Elvis request that Mike in Bridgeview had. If you talk in your sleep, 1974 on RCA, and a much bigger country hit than pop hit. It got to about number 17 on the pop charts and number 6 on the country charts. So that was the deal, and it was released on the album Promised Land, and they released it as a single shortly thereafter. So 888-876-5593. Tracy is in Philadelphia. Tracy, welcome to WGN Radio.
How you doing?
All right, what's happening, Tracy?
Yeah, I just found when I went on your website Friday that you're on WGN in Chicago now.
Yeah.
Yeah, how long you been on that station?
Oh, about 5.5 years.
Oh, yeah, and now I know you play music Monday through Thursday nights, too.
Well, sure, the bumper, sure. So if there's anything you want to hear, let me know what it is.
If this group is out of Chicago, I first heard it. Have you heard of Johnny G's Vinyl Treasure Show on YouTube?
No, I don't check stuff online very often.
Yeah, well, he has a radio show on YouTube at oldiesandmore.com.
Okay.
I just came across it back in November, and he plays the soul music on Wednesday nights from 9 to like almost 12:30.
Okay. Well, I just tried to go there. Oldiesandmore.com doesn't resolve as a domain. Is there something else in the name?
Well, that's the name of the website.
Yeah. Well, it's parked on GoDaddy now, and they're saying for $5,000 you can buy it yourself. So it's defunct apparently. So maybe there's something else to it.
I don't know. Cause see, when the copyright police shut him down on YouTube,
well,
that's why I go right to.
Yeah, that might have done it.
More.
All right.
Yeah. Well, this song is called Falling in Love with You Girl by the Star Tales.
Oh. Wow. All right. I think I've got it.
Yeah.
I'll look for that.
And on Thursday night, Allie Hatkins on rememberthemradio.com from 8 to midnight.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was with him on NES Friday night show on WPPM 106.5. I was with him Friday night to help him celebrate his birthday.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Star Tells. I do have that record. It's Star-Tells, Falling in Love with You, Girl. Yeah, I'll play that for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I'm glad I could start back listening to you again.
All right. Well, we do trivia on Monday nights now, not Fridays, but we play quite a bit of R&B just about any time, which I'll prove to you when I play you your Star Tells.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from you, Tracy.
All right, Ron, you keep up the good work.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right.
All right, so, yeah, the Star Tells. That was 1971 on Lamar, and I'll be happy to play that. Why not? All right, you'll decide for yourself what you think of it. And 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And like I say, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. So here's a deal on this. I'll get into this, then we're going to have the news, so probably we'll have to bifurcate it to some degree. But deal is, this guy wound up wrongfully convicted and winds up on death row. And you realize there have been about 200 people on death row who've been exonerated since 1973, you know, who are actually placed there and awaiting their demise, and then they say, oops. Well, so here was a guy who'd been sentenced to death, Herman Lindsay is his name, in 2006, supposedly for a 1994 murder, and murder-robbery conviction, and 3 years later was overturned. But what he's been doing is talked quite a bit about what it was like, obviously, to be an innocent man on death row, but also what it was like with his encounters with the paranormal. Yes, a Florida state prison system, by the way. And apparently, several inmates have reported seeing what appeared to be spirits whenever a person was due to be executed. And he says, Herman says, on the night of someone being executed, you'll see a spirit walk down the hallway. It is not a hallucination. I am not the only person to witness it, he says. It's not a tale. The majority of people on death row will tell you they have seen it for themselves. He confirms that many inmates believe the ghostly apparition belongs to an executed inmate. Now, who that was? Well, an inmate who passed away several years ago, who would always appear right before an inmate was scheduled to have their sentence carried out. And what I don't know, and maybe we can find Herman Lindsay's story elsewhere, what I don't know is whether the guy who is roaming the halls right before the executions is, in fact, was he wrongly convicted? I don't know. But he said, ghost spotted near around death. Well, that's not common. You always see it like end-of-life nurses and all, hospice workers and all that. But the idea that there is a spirit in the Florida state prison system who roams the halls just before an execution. Yeah, I want to find out who this guy is. All right, so that, and like I say, while we're talking about dead people, oh, how festive. We also have the story of a woman who speaks to the dead. Okay, there goes her credibility, but nonetheless, she says she does, explaining why you should never have a mirror facing your bed. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Robbie James. That was Tracy from Philadelphia's request. This is about as Chicago as you get. East 75th Street, actually. It was, and all of a sudden his name just left me, but it was his label, Lamar. And Burgess Gardner, that's it, Burgess Gardner, Burgess and Walter Gardner. They had Lamar, and they had two Startales records on it. The first one was Exterminator Man, but the flip side inexplicably about Exterminator Man says Bunky's Pick, and I think, Bunky Shepherd? I don't know. So that's what more can I ask for? All right, it didn't ever cause me to flip the record over and hear it, but nonetheless, now you've heard some of the Startales, and hopefully they're alive and well. So that's the deal with that. All right, 888-876-5593. And we have Naoto in Japan. All right, and let me get the magic twanger out here and say welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Naoto?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm doing pretty well, but one of my friends was working in Canada, and she's currently in Canada as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the strike's over, supposedly. They reached a deal with the flight attendant union. Apparently, that's what the holdup was. And so, supposedly, they are resuming flights they might have already.
Yeah, I haven't talked to the person since, last night. So, I'm not sure about, up-to-date status.
Yeah, I don't know.
But,
I'd love to see what the full deal, because in there, the union says this is a transformational change for workers and the industry. And they haven't disclosed yet what the transformational change is, but makes you wonder.
Yeah. Right. It sounds pretty dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they say it's an 8 to 12% pay increase, but I mean, transformational change would be more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I was planning to meet the person.
Yeah.
The person in Canada. So in around maybe this Saturday.
Okay.
But I think, it's not going to be happening. So, yeah. So, but have you ever encountered a situation like this?
What?
Have you ever encountered this kind of strike yourself? Transit in Canada or,
Yeah, I think they're pretty much back to normal, or will be. They're flying again, so I would assume by the weekend it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only a 4-day strike, but obviously Air Canada has a busy airline because it affected over 500,000 passengers.
Mm.
So they do 700 flights a day.
Yeah, right. So I hope everything will be fine and the person can back to Japan.
Yeah. Well, you can right now book a one stop to Tokyo for $930, a one stop to Osaka for $1,053, and a one stop to Nagoya for $1,122. Now, God only knows what time those flights leave, but that's the Canada prices. So U.S. prices, I'd say they probably start around $600.
Hmm.
So yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
With a touchscreen TV at every seat and a free checked bag.
Sounds nice. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want to go to Canada. Now, of course, if you don't want to go to Canada, this doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they say that they're having a Japan sale as we speak. So how about that? And you can choose from three classes of service aboard the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. Don't take the one that stops in India. But other than that, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to hear from you, Naoto.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, bye. All right, so that's the deal. And I saw an article that said the cheapest flights to Japan within the past 7 days were $336. Well, excuse me, they weren't going for 4 days. They weren't going anywhere. You can price it any way you want. It's not leaving the tarmac. All right, but so a quick strike. So it will revolutionize, do you think? Well, all right, maybe that's a bit much. All right, so we've got Don and Beloit. Oh, that's interesting because his Clover's request is coming up next. So, okay, Don, what's up? Welcome back.
Hey, Riley, I got some cheap shrimp for you to try.
Oh, yes, the greater value with that extra ingredient. Yeah, nothing more delightful than cesium 137.
Right. Wow. I mean, as a rule, Don from Beloit avoids farm-raised shrimp in general. I just don't, and certainly from another country, I avoid as well. So,
and it's not it's not easy to do. Most of the shrimp that you'll see, the frozen shrimp, invariably comes from Asian destinations. There are very few where you'll see that it's North America.
Yep, and very, very rare to see wild-caught shrimp. You know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you can find it.
Like, you know, an Ecuadorian fisherman or
something. Right. No, I'd have to look in the freezer, but we have some that is absolutely wild and American caught. But I don't know what it's called right now. And probably four other things would fall on me if I opened that freezer. So I guess next time I see it, I'll let you know.
Yeah. I'm a passionate environmental engineer that does a lot of things in my life, but I'm not much of a, I never did radioactive power plants and things like that. It's not my specialty, but I do remember, I mean, cesium 137 is really a high-powered thing.
Yeah. Right. It's produced in nuclear fission reactors, and what, the half-life's like 30 years, but it's usually medical.
Yeah.
You know, more than anything, I think. I mean, it can be industrial gauges and stuff like that, but a lot of it is medical use.
I've worked with a lot of facilities that had, you shoot a beam out across a conveyor or a pipe, and you can measure the mass density of something going by, like a lime scrubber or a bunch of coal going by. It's really amazing how accurate these things. I thought those were cesium, but I could be wrong.
Could be. Well, there's quite a bit of it. There's more than just 137, obviously. So now let's face it, if you're just having a few shrimp and you don't have other issues, chances are nothing's going to happen to you if you had to consume this. I don't advise doing it if you know, but if you don't know, this isn't where I'd go crazy thinking, oh, what have I just done to myself? Probably nothing. So, now if you're undergoing radioactive treatment for, some cancer condition or whatever, that's a different deal. Or if you're working, in some industry where you're exposed, that's a different deal. But for the average Joe walking down the street who goes in and buys a clump of great value shrimp, they're not going to die from this.
The numbers are really low. I had to look up the units because I never heard of this. It's called BQ per kilogram, Becquerels per kilogram, And then I saw apparently 1,200 is really concerning. And I was like, well, 1,200, but this only had about 70, right? So 70 versus 1,200, the shrimp didn't have much in it, but it's very odd that it had this kind of residual radiation, apparently.
Yeah, well, obviously, they measure this at all the ports because of, not that they're looking for great value shrimp, but they are looking for what's coming into this country.
Well, there's so much that they're rated. But Raleigh, you got all those different things that are scanning to see if there's people in the shipping container.
You're right.
Things like that. I mean, you're just doing major electron beam, X-ray beam stuff. And I'm not an expert, but one thing so after this story, I started looking at how, foods are really safe because of irradiation, and they do irradiate shrimp, and apparently it makes it taste better and springier. And so that irradiation, it kills all the bad things that we don't want to eat and so on.
Yeah.
So that's funny. Like, well, was this a result of a bad irradiation?
No.
I mean, we don't even know at this point.
No, I don't think it's in any way related to that. You know, that's ionizing radiation. Yeah. I don't think so. My question is, okay, it made it to the shelves before you made this discovery. How many containers did you not examine?
Right.
You know, that's...
Your guys, exactly. And your guys aren't on the dock at your local box store, grocery store place.
Well,
with a detector, watching when they open.
Right.
But that's the only way to really catch it, you need to have a detector. Right?
They can catch it at the ports if they're actually scanning everything. You see, that's the question. How did it leave the port? You know,
was there something really hot? If that shipping container had something that was so hot in it that was before, and it shipped, let's say, a long time, there is a residual from that shipping container for something that was in it.
Well,
before this.
But again, you're talking about, you know, CE-137, which is, you know, not going to be the weapon of choice normally. So,
right.
I don't see it. I'm not going to, you know, go conspiratorial on it. But as I say, I'd be very curious to know, since they say they check it at the ports, how did it leave the port? How did it make it to Walmart without any notice?
Sure.
That's the question.
What kind of food did these shrimp eat on the farm there?
Well, you know, as I was saying earlier, you know, the funny story about a decade ago was when that woman went into her kitchen, she was defrosting shrimp at night, and they were glowing in the dark. And
Wow.
But that is not only is that not dangerous, it's actually a way to kill, you know, to deal with the bacteria. Some of that bacteria will glow in the dark. And not a big thing. But I know for the news for weeks on that, you know, the glow in the dark shrimp. But as far as CE-137, I don't believe it glows in the dark, and I don't believe you will either if you consume it. So, but I do hope they follow it up to find out how did it get into the food supply. Why wasn't it stopped prior to being on the shelves in 13 states?
Yeah. You had a caller. I apologize. I can't remember. Was it Monday or was it? I think it was last week. But that had the terrible situation with the moldy basement.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't sound like it was. It wasn't. It doesn't sound like that was going to be ending.
No, and you know, we talked to her the next night, and I'm very pleased that she has decided she and her son will move.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the only thing to do.
I was just going to. You had a lot of conversations after that with some other callers, but I worked in that for so long, doing restoration work and my own basement work and different houses and so on. I worked in that for a long time, but different bleaches and using fans. And boy, bleach is great. And then you got these quacks, these quaternary ammonium compounds, all these different things that spray and kill for a long time. And you put it in a chemical sprayer and you go around on your walls, it's going to be great if you do it regularly.
Well, also protect yourself. Like I say, I really did myself in when there I am. No mask, no nothing, breathing it in. And then, you know, I'm just the Clorox, you know, and man, I was ever sick. But, you know, if you know what you're doing, yeah. But if you're a renter, what it might take to really fix a longstanding problem like that becomes over the top. You know, she doesn't own this structure. And the idea that somebody came by and took a look at it, you know, didn't measure anything, didn't test anything, that's a joke.
A lot of this starts with the roof and the gutters and cleaning the gutters and the downspouts. And I'm really, really into this, like putting the downspout extensions way out as far out, and then make them longer, get them way out there so the drainage off the roof gets far away from your basement.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, there's many basic things that that could be dealt with, and also somebody didn't notice this problem years ago because it doesn't happen overnight. You know,
I wear a P100 all the time. I think we talked about that.
Yeah.
I've been wearing one for ages. Every time I cut my grass, you kick up so much debris and dust.
Okay.
I wear a P100 when I cut the grass. I look like a goofball to some people, maybe, but I don't care. I'm doing dusty work in a basement or somewhere at work. I'm wearing a P100. They're so lightweight, it's like $15, and you're.
I wore one today, actually, only because John insisted. With me, I'm usually willing to ingest anything, but I don't like my eyes being screwed up, so I was wearing goggles. But also, John said, "Oh, you have to have a mask." So, okay, I'll get a P100. I got two. Because
good for you.
I was cleaning mold off of albums, and some of them there was just no way. I mean, it was just a goner. But, you know, absolutely. And 3M makes the cool mask variety, which so it was fine.
How many dumpsters this?
Oh,
10 days.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want to know. John went to the dump again today. But fortunately, I looked at these boxes of moldy albums, but turned out some of them were actually boxes of carts. So I'm like, oh, good. I don't have to look through those. I'll just throw them out. So,
okay.
Getting through it, slogging through it.
Yeah.
But I will play your Clover.
Thank you so much.
Next. All right. Thanks, Don. I appreciate the call.
Thank you. Such a sweetheart. All right,
okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Raleigh.
All right. So I think we went into a break, rightfully so, because otherwise we're going to obliterate the midnight hour.
Can't you see what you're doing to me?
Don't you know I love you so? Don't you know I love you so? Don't you know I love you so? And I'll never, never let you go. Don't you know?
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. On 78 on Shellac on Atlantic, Red Atlantic, actually. And 1951, and Ahmet Erdogan wrote it. Yeah, anytime you see the writer's credit as Negeri, it's Erdogan backwards. All right, so that's the Clovers, and that's what Don and Beloit wanted to hear, and now he has. All right, we have Linda in Richland Park. All right, Linda, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's happening?
Hey, Raleigh, I'm just so happy I got you. You know, I was studying my Bible so long, me and my girlfriend, well, my girlfriend and I, until I had to pass the hour of your show.
Ah.
And I said, oh, my God, let me get Raleigh right quick. I know I probably missed out on a lot of good things that you were talking about, but I was calling in reference to this young man, an elderly guy. I don't know what happened with him, but he was out of electricity or something, and he was in
right.
Park Forest, and
right.
His neighbor gave him a plug.
Yeah.
I wonder what ever become of him. Did he ever call back or anything?
He hasn't yet, but it's only been a couple of days. It was Monday night, so it was last night, actually. So I hope he will call back and keep us updated on what's going on with that.
Right, because that happened to him. He is living in Park Forest, Illinois, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because they had some floods over that way. They had some floods
all
around.
In his case, he didn't have power because he didn't pay the bill.
Oh, he didn't pay the, and he was saying his money amount is so cheap. $720 a month. That's well, a person can't live off of $720.
Of course you can. Of course you can't. And normally, when you're doing that, like SSI money or things like that, there's other low-income services to offset. You know, like housing and things like that. So he really needs a good social worker to give him all the options.
Right, because he, if he called the City Hall of Park Forest, they will be able to help him. And he's a senior citizen too. Am I right about it?
Yes.
That's what he should be able to get some assistance if he call or, you know, I said if I could, I'd give him $1,000. I'd give him something.
Yeah.
You know, I thought about that, but I said, you know what? If he go to the right people, he will get some assistance.
Yeah, I think so too.
So he gonna get a blessing. I just know. I hope he's listening.
Yeah.
So he'll know he will be blessed. So I thought about a song. I don't know if you can play it now. It's by Lester Barnes. I keep getting blessings over and over again.
Okay, I'll look for it.
I don't know if you ever heard it, but it's a good song.
Okay.
And what I want to talk to you about myself is, have you ever heard of Beacon Palms Eye Institute in Palm Springs, Florida?
No, it's actually Bascom Palmer, and it's in Miami.
Okay.
It's in Miami.
Yes, I mean, it's in Miami, Florida.
Bascom Palmer is the number one ophthalmology hospital in all of America. It is the single best place to go.
Wow. Well, you know, believe it or not, my ex-daughter-in-law, I call her my daughter still, she made me an appointment to go there next month on the 23rd.
Good. No, so, it does not get better than Bascom Palmer, period. It is the best.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go because she got my airplane tickets and everything.
Yeah.
She got 3 days off if we're to stay longer. So I said, well, hopefully I'll come back with some
now,
form of
Are you going? Are you going to the office at their headquarters in Miami, or are you going to Broward or Palm Beach or Collier Counties?
She said it's in Palm Beach.
They have a satellite office in Palm Beach. That's true. The main office is right there in the medical center of Miami in the health district. Lousy neighborhood, but a great hospital. I've certainly been there.
Did they help you good? Pretty good?
Actually, for me, I'm beyond help with uveitis and stuff like that. But they were able to determine a lot on my adopted mom that she wouldn't have found out elsewise. Now, she wound up losing the eye anyway, but not because of anything they did. They were terrific.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever had a problem, that would be where I'd want to go if I could. But like I say, I don't know about the Palm Beach satellite office. It's probably good, but I know about the main office, and it is just great. It's off of Northwest 17th Street and 9th Avenue, I think. But anyway, that's Miami. But I'm sure the Palm Beach office is good, too.
She said we was going to the main hospital. That's what she... That's
well,
what,
the main hospital's definitely in Miami, but they do have satellite facilities in Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know. But the way she spoke to me is if we were going to be right there in the hospital.
All right. Well, like I say, they may, I don't know what they do in Palm Beach County, but it's the same people, that's for sure. But the deal is, the main deal is right in Miami.
Oh, so maybe I'm hoping I can come back being able to see a little something when I come back. But it's kind of ironic because my retina specialist haven't spoken to me in 6 months, and he called and said he made me an appointment to come in and see him tomorrow. No. He's a retina specialist.
Yeah.
I'm going like, should I go to see him or just wait for my Palm Beach appointment?
Well, it's up to you. I mean, if you want to see him, it won't cost you anything. Your insurance and Medicare will cover it. There's no reason you shouldn't, but I don't know what good he'll do you.
That's what I'm saying. You know, the last time when I went to him, he just looked and said, well, you don't need a shot.
Yeah.
I'll see you on your next annual appointment.
Well, it's soon enough that you've got the appointment at Bascom Palmer, so you may want to just wait and do that and see what they say.
I think I should do that, because I was just saying, because he didn't do nothing for me the last time. I didn't even know he said he's calling me for an annual appointment. I'm going like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
every 6 months. Come on, yeah. My eyes is getting dimmer and dimmer. It's so damn now, I don't even know which eye drops I'm putting in. I'm just dumping eye drops in my eye, hoping it hits.
Right.
Hopefully the pressure be down.
Well, what I'm hoping they can do for you is diagnose exactly why you've got the problem, because that's the first step in finding out what you can, what's available to do about it.
Right, exactly. Because the last doctor I saw, he recommended me some water pills, 250 milligrams. Twice a day, so it's 500 milligrams of water pills. I said, well, what is that? I don't have no water swelling up on me. And when I started to taking it, my sight got dimmer and dimmer and it never came back.
Oh, geez. No, well, that,
I don't know.
That's systemic. You know, that's and you absolutely, hopefully they can steer you in the direction of who you need to see for that, because that's systemic.
Well, you got me lost. What do you mean systemic?
Meaning that it's coming from your body overall, not necessarily directly from your eyes. Your eyes might be secondary to why you're feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know, because if you're saying, gee, I was taking this medication and suddenly I'm noticing a loss of vision, that tells me that something else is going on in your body that was causing that.
All right, yeah, because I started taking those pills, and it's 250 milligrams. I got a few of them left because I stopped taking them.
Okay.
I went to the hospital. I could see a little something. I showed them. They said, oh, no, don't take those. You don't need those.
Okay.
And I still got some left. I said, well, whoever I see, I'm going to show them. So this is what made my eyes, help my eyes to go out, because I
right.
could see before I started taking these pills. So
well,
I don't know.
Well, and there is a number of things that are indicated as far as that goes with side effects to diuretics, and absolutely vision problems are among them. So
right, it could be the insulin that the doctor's giving me, because I really don't need them. He can just take when I feel like it. My sugar's up a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. And then they said the other pills, sugar pills, is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of the name of them now, but metformin.
Oh,
worst pills in the world,
well,
they claim.
Right. I'm no doctor, and I have no right to say it, but I will say that I wouldn't advise a friend to take it. I'll say that.
It's not
to, you know, but
right.
believe me, I'm not over-guessing any doctor's advice, but just I wouldn't.
Right.
But, diuretics are known for potentially having vision problems. So that could be, you know, I don't know, what were you on, like Diamox or something, or Lasix? I don't know what you were on.
You say amoxicillin, is this what
no,
you're
no,
talking
about? Well, Diamox is it's a long word that starts with an A. I'll say that. Or hydrochlorothiazide is another one. There's a lot of different water
pills. But what do you take it? What do they give it to you for?
Well, it's a diuretic. In other words, to get water out of your system. Swelling or things like that, or edema. Well, edema is swelling, but yeah, but in any event, whatever it is, if it is a diuretic, that's known to cause in some people vision problems. So, you'll be telling them when you go to Bascom Palmer, you'll be telling them everything you took. So make sure you have a list of everything you've taken, say in the last year.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, I can't understand it because my body don't ever swell.
I don't know why they'd give it to you. I don't know.
I can't understand it. My body never swells.
Well,
never had swelling in my feet, my legs, or nothing.
Well, it's
could be maybe some of those vitamins I'm taking, maybe.
Well, the other time, sometimes they'll give you water pills for some forms of glaucoma. So
okay.
It could be that, you know, again, there could be a lot of reasons, but that can be a side effect of it. But yeah, I'm glad you're going. I'm glad you're going.
Right, I'm going to get to the bottom of it, and I'm
yes.
going, and when I do go, I'm going to call you back and let you know.
Yes.
And everybody that be listening, I hear a lot of people saying, what happened, Linda? I'm serious. I'm just listening.
All right, good deal. Well,
I'm
keep
checking
us.
Checking out everybody.
Yeah.
And when you
are.
Get a chance, play this for, what is his name, Jim?
Yeah.
he got to be strong. Play the Aretha Franklin. I say a little prayer for you, for him.
Okay.
And don't forget, it plays for my guy that don't have no electricity.
Yeah, Lester Barnes.
I keep getting blessing over and over again. Yeah. All right. And I'm going to let you go. And thank you again.
Right. Good deal.
I love you.
Love you,
bye-bye.
Too. Keep me posted. All right.
So, all right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Well, she's in good hands as far as that goes. Bascom Palmer is as good as it gets. All right. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh. And we'll get to James and Laura, and you too, I hope, on WGN Radio.
Every day of my life, I get a new blessing. Well, the Lord sends new blessings my way. And he does it over and over and over again. Come on, y'all.
Keep on blessing me over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
You keep on blessing me over and over again.
Talking about the Lord now.
You keep on blessing me over and over again. You keep on blessing me over and over again.
Lord, you keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me
over and over,
over and over again.
Lord, you keep on blessing me.
You keep on blessing me
over and over,
over and over again.
You woke me up this morning, started me on my way. You gave me strength to make it, to make it through another day. You gave me eyes to see, you gave me a tongue to talk. I wanna thank you, Jesus, for giving me the legs to walk. Lord, you keep on blessing me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I think that's the one Linda wanted. Yeah, and that's Luther Barnes, and the song is You Keep On Blessing Me. All right, so there you go. Malico, actually, and a fine song all the way around. All right, so and we'll get to Aretha Franklin for Jim as well, but like that Luther Barnes. All right, so we'll get to James on the south side and his requests, and Laura and Willowbrook and her requests. And I haven't forgotten about these ghosts, by the way, these dead people. Yes, a woman who talks to them says the key is never to have a mirror in your bedroom. I'm in trouble. I'm in deep, deep trouble. I can see it already. All right, so I'll tell you what apparently the rules are, especially if you've been not sleeping well. Well, we'll talk about that after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Aretha Franklin, of course, she has a B-side, 1968 on Atlantic, and the A-side was the house that Jack built. All right, so that was Linda's request for Jim. All right, good deal. Oh, we have Rohan, and he is a first-time caller in Chicago. So welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi.
How
nice
are you?
Nice to be here.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I heard you on the radio last week, and then I saw the website, and I was like, this is pretty cool. I like the music. I like how it's updated with all the topics of conversation, so very cool.
Well, thank you. So what's on your mind?
You know, well, so earlier today, I went to go see this movie with my girlfriend, and I took the bus up from Bronzeville, or down from Bronzeville up to South Loop, and I ended up having a lovely conversation with someone on the bus, and I don't know. As someone who doesn't grow up in Chicago and is kind of new to being on public transit a lot, I was just really pleasantly surprised with having, like, this cute little connection that was, like, just like a little airplane friend food, you know, or airplane food friend just for a moment. And I also got to thinking, like, most of the time I'm on the bus or on the train, it's just, you know, it's, and I'm guilty too, it's just phone the entire time. So
right,
like, man,
right.
Are we just missing all this?
Yeah, it's sad. You know, the phones are really, while they're an amazing blessing for all the things it can do, there's nothing more disappointing than seeing a family of four at dinner and all of them are on their phones, not talking to each other.
I mean, it sounds bad for me to stop it, you know? I'm a younger fellow, so maybe I'm just kind of too much of a Luddite and people had their noses in novels and newspapers before there were phones. But I have to think, I have this vision of, you know, being on the red line and then suddenly I strike up conversation with someone for 10 minutes and that's a standard of the commute instead of this thing that I'm running around for the next week telling all my friends, like, I had a conversation on the train.
Yeah, that's great. That's absolutely great. Well, I hope you'll keep it up and I hope you'll report often to let us know how it goes.
Yeah, well, I mean, the best one, the starter I have here, she told me I had a very nice perfume, and it was a perfume that I got when I was in a cologne, rather, since I'm a very masculine individual. It was a nice cologne that I got at Thanksgiving because my whole family was making fun of my aunt for her cologne smelling like an old woman. And I was kind of like, that smells pretty good. Like, no, yeah, that sucks, dude. You should get rid of it. No one likes that. And then I got it for free.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. That's neat. All right. So what brought you to Chicago?
College. I graduated pretty recently, and I lived here for 4 years because, you know, like, I was in college, I kind of had to. Yeah. And as of 4 months ago, I am living here of my own voluntary free will, which is kind of sick, you know? Like, I'm about to have the winter where it's kind of like, okay, I got to choose if I want to still be here. But so far, I love Chicago. It's awesome.
That's great. Where'd you come from?
California. So all my friends back home are like, dude, why would you go there and stay there during the winters? Which, during winter, I sometimes feel, but it still comes out ahead for me.
Well, now that's interesting. California, of course, a big state. Where about in California?
A town called Santa Cruz. It's about an hour south of San Francisco.
I know just where it is. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah? You're familiar?
Of course. Well, I'm an Angeleno, so, yeah.
But, oh, no way.
But, of course, there's a UC there, University of California, Santa Cruz.
Yep, my mom teaches there. I won't tell you anything more before I dox myself, but I'm very familiar with the UC.
That's interesting. Did she know Tom Lehrer? Because he taught there, too.
Okay, this is gonna... Now I really can't say anything more, but I'm pretty sure I might have met Tom Lehrer, to be honest with you.
Wow.
The name sounds familiar. There was a lot of dinner parties growing up with all her friends from faculty, so I was around UCSB all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, his parodies are some of the best song parodies ever. And sadly, he just left us recently.
Oh, I didn't. I'll have to call my mom up and see if she knows. I'm glad you spent time there, though. Beautiful town.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're enjoying Chicago. And I absolutely want to want you to keep me posted on how it goes on the conversations.
I will. And, you know, I'll end. I do have one song request, or actually rather an artist request. I've been getting really into Rosemary Clooney lately.
Oh.
I really like Come On in My House.
Yeah, so
I'm kind of like, if there's anything else that I wouldn't know, some deep Rosemary Clooney cuts, you know, send them my way.
Yeah, like Miss Otis Regrets. But Come On in My House, of course, that was the number one record of, like, 1950, and that was written by Ross Bagdasarian, the guy who was David Seville with the Chipmunks.
See, that's a whole heck of knowledge. I had no idea. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I like the most basic one. I got to get my taste a little bit more ornate.
Yeah, no, Rosie Clooney. Ross wrote it with his cousin, William Saroyan, who's a novelist and stuff like that. But yeah, it was like the biggest record of the year. And she did not want to do it. It was Mitch Miller who basically forced her into it. And she said, that record's terrible. And it became the biggest record of her career. But I think since you've heard that before, I'm going to play Miss Otis Regrets that she did.
Okay, thank you. I'm excited. I'm cranking my radio right up.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, call me again soon. I appreciate it.
I will. Thank
you.
Thanks. Good night.
All right. So, good deal. 888-876-5593. We'll get to James. We'll get to Laura. We will hear an update from Pete. Ooh, I'm looking forward to that. But we'll hear Rosie Clooney next on WGN Radio.
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up and found that her dream of love was gone, madam, she ran to the man who had led her so far astray. And from under her velvet gown, she drew a gun and shot her lover down. Oh, madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and actually that's a remake that she did of herself. Rosie Clooney in 1992 put out an album called Girl Singer that I thought was just terrific, and I thought her rendition of Miss Otis Regrets was wonderful. But when we first heard her do it, it was a few decades earlier, 1964, on the Thanks for Nothing album, and sounded a little different and nice, but, you know, something about Girl Singer I just really liked. But as far as if you're into originals...
Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. She is sorry to be delayed, but last evening down in Lover's Lane she strayed. Madam, Miss Otis regrets she's unable to lunch today. When she woke up.
That was a nice version. And when I say the original, of course, that's not the original version of the song. That's the first time Rosie Clooney released it. This goes back to 1934. And, of course, Cole Porter. And it was in a play, Hi Diddle Diddle. And I think it debuted in London, actually. But nonetheless, the song, actually, it's got an interesting history because it came out of a party. And that a classmate of Cole Porter's from Yale had hosted. And it was interesting because they were listening to the radio and there was some, you know, country song, some Cowboys Lament. And so Porter did a parody, you know, improvised it on the spot, a parody. And basically, that turned out to be Miss Otis Regret. And that was it. It was sort of a group effort at the party. And so, yeah, Miss Otis became a punchline, to say the least. But yeah. In fact, a year later, in My Most Intimate Friend, there's a line, Miss Otis thinks she'll be able to attend. But nonetheless, Truman Capote wrote about that years ago. And yeah, she's unable to lunch today, right? So that's the deal there on that. And there's a ton of good Rosemary Clooney records, obviously. But along the lines of Come On At My House, there's also Mambo Italiano and much more. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we got Pete in Sauk Village with an update. All right, Pete, so what's going on?
Oh, another day, another bunch of confusion. But at least I'm starting to get some of my future medical needs straightened out.
Good.
For instance, about 4 or 5 months ago, they put me on one of those continuous glucose monitors, a little patch thing on the arm and a little doodad in the pocket.
Yeah.
They
work well.
Yeah, except the doodads aren't waterproof.
Yeah, did you find that out the hard way?
Of course.
Okay.
It chased my cell phone into the drink.
Okay.
And for the cell phone, that was like number 4, and the local repair shop said, "Yeah, it's beyond help." But I managed to work a way around it during the 2 months where you didn't hear from me. Because the first part of that was hospitalization after the cell phone died.
Okay.
It didn't play a cell phone, obviously, but it had to do with my gastroparesis problems. And the last call I was able to make on the house phone, which was a VoIP through Xfinity Comcast,
right,
was the 911 outbound call that called the ambulance for that occasion.
Okay.
Before that, they had shut it down to where any number I dialed got me their robo cashier wanting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds beyond what I owed.
Okay.
And so I come home to absolutely dead cable. The way this house is so messed up with all the things going on in it, I can't even get to where the modem is, and so Comcast is still trying to put little bits of money on my debt because I still have both of their modems here, the one for the TV cable box and the one that gave the VoIP and Internet. I can't get to either of them. Let's see. My only emotional support items, people, characters, I don't know, pets. I've had as many. I'm a cat person. Matter of fact, my folks had a breeding pair of Siamese seal point before I was born in 55. And so I grew up with those rambunctious, loud kittens for a while, and then we moved up into the south suburbs from Hoopston, Illinois, which is where we were living, and I was born in, which is, if you can imagine this, a suburb of Danville, Illinois, many miles away, though, farm country. And after 9 months down there, in December of 55, we moved up to Park Forest, south suburb of Chicago, very nice place. And mm-hmm. Dad became one of the Chicago area madmen relating to that TV show that was in New York about advertising.
Right.
And he wrote copy for J. Walter Thompson and Y&R, Young and Rubicam, and a bunch of other big ad houses. Met Royko at one of, and became a lunch, martini lunch partner with him for a while. And then Royko wrote the story of our first Christmas, rewritten to be city folk in a basement apartment rather than a little two-boy, two-parent family in, out in the suburbs, and how our first Christmas tree was two half-trees bound together.
Okay, now this is fascinating, but that's way down memory lane. Let's talk about the present. What's new on your situation about having to go into assisted living? Is there any way to avoid this?
So far, I haven't even toured the place.
All right.
I was set to tour it when I got violently ill again. And that was a couple weeks ago. And the gal who was trying to set up the tour was a social worker out of the medical clinic I go to. Took some aversion to my situation at that point, and she's supposed to be setting up another tour.
Okay.
Haven't heard. That's been 2 weeks. Time to pester her. And beyond that, I had my preliminary appointment last Friday to see the cardiac surgeon about the outpatient half of the attempt to revitalize the artery on my stomach. He tried to go in that way back in when I was at last violently ill situation where the phone died also. That's when I was in the hospital and he tried to do a plasty stent.
Okay.
Technique coming up from the groin, 100% blockage. There's no way to even feed the lead wire of the plasty device into it.
So what's next?
Well, this is the preliminary office appointment so I could get all the paperwork started for the outpatient attempt to come in from above.
Okay.
Which the entry point will be either elbow, armpit, or neck.
Oh, man. All right. And when, yeah, good luck. Better you than me, I'll tell you that. When do you think this will be scheduled?
No idea, because the scheduling staff member has not contacted me yet, and they won't until I get the blood work and all this other stuff that I got papers for on Friday.
All right.
I brought them home, and the clouder, which is down to three, helped make them disappear. So I'm waiting for a backup set to arrive postally.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I am also having mechanical things like with my car. I can't afford. I've got a slow leak, and I can't afford to fix it.
All right. Well, what it sounds like is there are so many things going on that you have to prioritize how you're going to attack all of this, because you've got like 11 moving parts.
Oh, yeah. Every aspect of my life is afflicted.
Yeah. So it's time to, I guess, make that infamous list and prioritize it to see what you got to do next. Also, before, you know, I think it's great you'll tour the assisted living, but you really need to find out from the social worker what other services are available to you, because the income you gave us, you're limited to the point that there's a lot of services that are out there and they need to tell you what they are.
Well, so far, this is it, and she seems to have assisted living on the brain.
Right. Well, you see, that's right, and that I don't like that they'll just kind of force you into that because that's what they think you should be doing. Well, it should be your choice, and you should be given all of the options. So that's what I would fight for.
Oh, I'd love it.
Well,
here's another conundrum. Supposedly, there might be as much as $100,000 of unclaimed property that I should be receiving from the state.
Well, that would be great. That would solve all of your immediate problems, not long term, but at least the immediate problems. But yeah, you need to work with somebody who is going to think more than just how to warehouse you.
Yeah, I do, and part of my problem is I probably won't remember this conversation in the morning.
Well, that's why you write it down.
My brain cells have been banged around enough.
No, I understand that, and that's probably one of the reasons that the social worker is looking at assisted living. But your biggest ally is going to be lists. Write down everything, even the things you think are unimportant, so you can refer to your notes.
I know. Oh, and just as a side note to that, I had this beautiful yellow pad that I was getting three checks out of per page for the New Moon.
Okay. All right. For Marianne, sure.
Lost the folder.
Oh, geez. Well, you can make one yourself.
It's in the house.
I understand house. That's right, but it'll be many new moons before you see it again.
I've got another pad.
Yeah, well, good. All right, so if you got another pad, you're in luck, and the next new moon is Saturday, August 23rd at 1:07.
Well, that means Friday I write a check.
Yes, absolutely. All right, good deal. You've ended the show. I'll talk to you soon. Keep me posted, Pete. All right.
I will.
I'll look forward to it. And apologies to Laura and to James. I'm so sorry I'm long-winded. Tomorrow night, Steve Probst is going to join us in the first hour. After that, 2 hours, whatever is on your mind, and I promise to play a request, too. All that and more, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes it easy for me to do, and you know how much I like easy. Well, until tomorrow, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.